easing the pain of your otherwise miserable life.
Is that right?
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Charles, Mark Reeson's on with you today. Now, 10 years ago today, US time, Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone to the world. 10 years ago, basically, the things we carried around with us changed forever. And I remember about a year after that, when the iPhone 3G came to Australia, the very first day they were available, I was out at about, the 1 year I ever went out in Sydney, I was out at about 3 o'clock in the morning, had a few drinks, and I thought, I'm going to go and get one. I'm going to go and queue up and get an iPhone. Went down to the Apple store at about 5 in the morning, started queuing up.
You're so rock and roll.
I know, but I actually, the bit of this story that I straight away don't believe is I had a few drinks. Yeah. No, you didn't.
Nah.
You'd been planning it for months. You knew it was coming. You pitched your tent, took your compass and your packed lunch.
The queues were
queued up with every other Apple loser.
Incredibly long out the front of the Apple store in George Street. And the problem was they didn't know what they were doing.
I love how he doesn't even deny it.
They didn't know what they were doing. So they, by the time I got my phone,
did you have wood?
16 and a half hours into the thing. Like, at one point, I just slept on the floor of the Apple store waiting for them to, like, it just took them like half an hour to process everyone. The computers
were down.
It was
Dom goes to sleep everywhere anyway. Like, it's not actually unusual.
And that's more than the battery life. So that's immediately is already done before you got it.
When I walked out of there with my iPhone, I'll tell you what, I didn't sleep for weeks. It was very exciting. But now that it's so commonplace and everyone has these smartphones, they're completely ubiquitous. It's amazing.
It's changed my life. The phone I had before this was one where when you wanted to type a text, you know, each number represented three letters. And so there would be some problems with autocorrect. I had a Vietnamese friend named Brian. Whenever I'd text him saying, "Hey, Brian," it would autocorrect to, "Hey, Asian."
That just reminds me of a friend, like being an actor, right? And an actor friend was telling his grandmother, you know, she said, "How do you get work?" And he said, "Well, I've got an agent." She said, "Yeah, they're very helpful people, aren't they?"
Oh,
she thought that he'd said.
Let's take the conversation away from
racist
absolutely. Faux pas and go back to the iPhone. Because it's not just the, like, no one uses them as phones anymore. Like, that's not what they are. No. That's the last thing they are. They're computers.
My kids actually refer it to as the phone app. Like, you should use the phone app to call mum and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So they think
everything's
an
app.
Well, yeah, they think of it as a games machine, which actually has this sort of weird phone app thing.
Do they call you the father app? let's get father app in here.
They've got smartphones now, so they don't really need parents anyway. Yeah.
But it used to be, guys, it used to be that phones were for nerds and dorks and using apps and so on.
Like the telephones were for dorks.
But now you can even get sex on a smartphone. I mean, this is an incredible thing. In the world of Tinder and all that kind of stuff, all this freaky weird stuff that I understand non-nerds do comes to the phone. So people like me won in the end. Now everyone has a smartphone. So who's looking smart now, guys? Who's looking smart now?
Sorry, when you said it could be used for sex, I thought you'd found a new use for the the headphone slot. Sorry, I've brought the tone down. Let's keep it down. Because the other great thing about the iPhone, of course, is now that you can take so many photos of your junk. You used to have to go and get them printed out at the chemist. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, how did people do dick pics before the smartphone?
Can you imagine?
No, they
like
drew them. They just drew them. Trust me.
Not
at the
scale.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah.
But can you imagine in like the 1930s black and white era getting the dick pic done with the photographer with the gunpowder? Like, excuse me, sir, just drop your strides and then I'll put it
on this carrier pigeon.
You'd have to do a drawing of your dick and then you'd have to get it on a stat deck. You know, and then take it into the police officer who would then go, yes, I can say that this is accurately his. Yeah.
And now, look, our phones are in our pockets 24/7. Just make a little hole in your pocket. You can take a picture of your dick anytime.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
When I think of a rag and bone man just fishing through scraps, looking for anything, it makes me think of Tony Abbott, just delving through the, looking for any sign of hope, just scrounging in the hope that someone besides Alan Jones will go, Tony, yes, you should be Prime Minister again. Have a do-over and don't stuff it up this time.
In fairness, it's not just Alan Jones saying that. It's Andrew Bolt.
Yep.
Well, Campbell Newman, the former Premier of Queensland, who was also dumped after about 2 years, has been
out Turnbull. Bring back
Abbott. It's bizarre because he doesn't seem to get the memo. Like, his colleagues, the people who could make him Prime Minister again, hate him doing this.
But it's interesting. I've got a cousin who's in the Liberal Party.
Ooh.
And I know. And
are they the black sheep of the?
No, they're the white sheep of the family.
They're the white sheep of the family. And she says that actually within the rank and file party, that everyone loves Tony Abbott.
Oh, of course.
And everyone, and that's why he's got this thing. Like, everyone at a federal, I get the impression most of his colleagues sort of want him to just go away.
Just leave.
And leave.
Make him ambassador to Antarctica.
But actually, within the Liberal Party, it's like literally 85, 90% of the rank and file members.
Yep.
And so every time he goes outdoors, Tony Abbott gets a whole lot of, you know, just little libs.
The grandmas of Sydney.
Oh, we love you. But I love you. I can understand that because I've met Tony Abbott a whole bunch of times. And like personally, and this may shock you, he's actually quite likable. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can chat with him really easily. He's pretty
great
funny.
Bloke.
All
like
that
if
kind
you
of stuff.
Have a beer with a guy,
yeah,
absolutely. Unless maybe you're a woman and you want to be in his cabinet. That's not
vote
so good.
For him, that's all.
I once bumped into him in Parliament House, and he literally walks like a simian.
He does.
He's sort of chimpanzee. He's got
funny
this
walk.
Weird.
Yeah.
So
he
doesn't
want to crush his balls.
His leg muscles are so enormous.
In jail, they call
swimming.
That walk carrying watermelons. Like when you carry watermelons under your arms, if you walk like that.
Yeah. He shuffles from. It's an extraordinary thing. Now, look, I was in a car with him once going to the airport.
Ooh,
we just were sharing and it was.
Is that
wait a sec. You were sharing a car with. Hey, Tone, want a lift? He's on his bike, obviously.
Well,
he's
must
like,
know, it was at the Melbourne Writers' Festival, and we were put in the same car by the organisers to get the. So
did
half
you,
an
did
hour.
Did you have
there,
to sleep in the same room as well? Like, was it a sort of co share?
We may have chosen to. But look, the point is.
Who got top bunk?
Turnbull was still in the ascendancy, and he knew I was from the Chaser, and he was being so naughty. Like, he was just completely taking the piss out of Turnbull when he was on the backbench before he challenged him.
Was
absolutely.
He really?
You should have recorded
it. Was so funny.
Well, what sort of stuff did he say? Come on, Dom.
Oh, like, he was basically making jokes about Turnbull being rich and being out of touch, all this sort of stuff.
Right.
So you can see, as you're saying this, you can see why he kind of still reckons he's got it. He still thinks I'm an ordinary Australian, Turnbull isn't, so I can be Prime Minister again.
And if you just ignore my time as Prime Minister,
exactly.
I would make the perfect Prime Minister.
If you just ignore my failure after failure after failure.
Stop the boats. That's it.
No, surely he's just been emboldened by Trump. Surely that is what's going on.
Well, that's what this is, right? This is my theory. Because he came out yesterday and said, nuclear subs. What we need is nuclear subs. Admittedly, I looked at subs for 2 years. 2 years I looked at this and reviewed it and went for Japanese subs, which are the least nuclear subs in the world, obviously. Now I want nuclear subs. And I think it's like, oh, the Turnbull, they're all too namby-pamby. They never go nukes. I want to go nukes. And you know what? If he was Prime Minister again, if we had nuclear subs, it might go something like this.
Attention all crew. Welcome aboard the HMAS Tony Abbott. Raw onions?
Packed.
Bible?
Packed.
Unquenchable lust for revenge?
Of course, sir.
Okay, the HMAS Tony Abbott is ship-shape and ready to go. Dive, dive, dive.
Sir, this vessel has thousands of leaks.
Good. Now, set sail for 21 Winulla Road, Point Piper.
Isn't that Mr. Turnbull's house?
Oh, is it?
Attention, attention. Incoming coded message from Onion One. Incoming coded message from Onion One.
My pledge today is to make this change as easy as I can.
Prepare to attack.
There'll be wrecking.
Engage wrecking ball.
No undermining.
Release the mines.
And no sniping.
Okay, go.
I've never leaked or backgrounded against anyone, and I certainly won't start now.
Okay, start now.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Rock. The word is rock here at Radio Chaser. And
rock
in particular,
and
you're better at
rock
that than me, Rhys. Damn it.
Oh, can I try?
Rock and
can
roll.
I
go? Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Mark up, please.
Rock and roll.
Look, no offence, Mark. This is your last show.
it's a coincidence.
Yeah, it's a purely
coincidence.
He's got other work. He's SBS love him.
He's hosting a rock and roll show.
Anyway, it's all about the guitar today, the key instrument in rock and roll. If you reckon you can pick a song just from the guitar, this quiz is for you. Chase the prize pack up for grabs. 133353. I tell you what, this is going to be rock. Brett's on the line from the Central Coast. Hey, Brett.
Rock on, boy.
Are you feeling rock?
Rocking on.
Are you feeling rock?
More rock than roll.
All right, so this is guitar, mate. This is axes screaming through a Marshall stack. Not quite. Can you pick the song? Here it is.
Is that Jose Feliciano?
Oh, you bastard, Dom.
It's a guitar.
You're a bastard.
Brett, what song is it?
I didn't think it'd be classical.
There was a little stick in the tail. Do you recognise the song? Do you want to hear it again?
It's a cover of a song. You should say that.
Yeah.
Song that we play.
It's Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Yep. I'll give you that. California.
Wow, that's
well
amazing.
Done. Well done.
See?
Oh.
Like, that's basically John Frusciante from the Chili Peppers
rocking
out.
Is that the song that you put on when you've got, like, a special girlfriend over to your house?
Let's put on some rock and roll.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to hear some rockin' tunes, babe.
Yeah. Back to my rock pad. Hey, Sean from... sorry, you're still on. You got to write. I beg your pardon. Here's a second quiz question for you. Rock on.
Ooh,
oh,
I know that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Like at an RE, just like everyone's beer.
I thought we were on WSFM for a moment.
Hey, Brett, what song is that?
That's the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel California. Yeah, well, I'll get the artist on the song's fine. Well done.
I thought for a second it was Anarchy in the UK, but then I realised it was actually the Eagles.
It's the worst cover ever of Hotel California, and there's a lot of them. Let's go with quiz number three. Clue number three. This is newer. What do you reckon?
Did you record these from the guy at Central in the tunnel?
The busker. Brett, what do you think that is?
I'm struggling with this,
and
I'm going to have a guess at Metallica.
No,
I thought
guess,
Metallica
though.
Too. I actually thought that too.
No, it's not. It's new. It's a sort of newer artist. It's not as old as Metallica. Sean from Penrith, hello.
Hey guys, rock on!
Rock on!
Rock on!
Or rather, classical rock on. Guitar on. Here's the song. So if you know the original, they put the guitar and the bass through quite a bit of distortion. Fair to say it sounds nothing like that, but it is the same song. What is it, Sean?
Oh, I thought Metallica as well. I think, I don't know, mate. I don't know it.
Let's move on to Alf on the Northern Beaches then. Alf.
How you going?
Do you know what that song is?
No idea.
Oh. Ben in West Pennant Hills is here. If you know 13353, if you know this one, it's a bit harder, a bit newer. Hey, Ben.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Really well. Do you know the rock and roll song we got here?
Oh, man, I've heard this one like three times in your previous calls, and I still can't quite get it. I know I've heard it.
Don't worry. I think it was number one on the charts.
You're not alone. Everybody else in the room here is blank.
It's killing me.
All right, let's go. Let's move on. We got John in Kellyville, 13353, if you want to try. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. We're stumped on this one, mate.
Yeah, can you play it again for me?
Yep. I'll give you a hint. It's from an album called El Camino.
Ooh.
And it's very distorted. Sorry?
It's obviously Keith Murray, though.
No, mate. We'll move on to Aaron. This might be the last question if we can't get it. Hey, Aaron. Aaron, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, what song is it?
Can you play it for us?
This is going so well.
Blokes with beards.
Blokes with beards.
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top.
It's a huge song.
Yes.
We're into day 7 of this competition.
No, I don't know.
Okay, whoever gets this, the prize pack's up for grabs. We've got a show to do here. Hey, Roger Miller Wong.
No.
No? All right. Have you got the song,
this is
mate?
Going...
I think I do. Is it Lonely Boy by
yeah!
the Black Keys?
Oh, thank God.
Rodney, I love you. And rock and roll.
Thanks, love you too, bro.
We've got a chase surprise pack for you. Well done.
Excellent.
So rock.
Oh, great.
See, this
track,
is a rock song
is.
with a string quartet. It's the Verve, Bittersweet Symphony.
Stop trying to justify this segment.
And they had to get play off my case, is what I'm saying.
Radio Chaser. 104.9. Triple M.
And look, so much happening in Canberra. Tony Abbott is well out of his box now. He's just, no onion is safe at this point. And they've built a fence around Parliament House, or it's certainly being built. Alice Workman's with us, the political reporter for BuzzFeed, based in Canberra. Hello, Alice.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And what on earth is happening with Tony Abbott?
Oh, well, I think we're all getting a bit itchy because on Sunday, it's the one-year anniversary of the federal election.
Aha.
So, you know, it's a famous time in Canberra in winter. They call it the killing season.
The TV show.
The documentary.
Yeah.
Yes. So the killing season is upon us. We're now the end of the first week of 6-week break for politicians.
So is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that it's the end of the financial year?
Is anything a coincidence?
No.
I don't think so. EFS comes once a year for all of us.
So Latony Abbott's popped up a bunch of times this week, Alice. He's given speeches. His website, if you go to tonyabbott.com.au, it's got his latest 5-point plan to win the next election, which isn't he in the process of losing the next election at this point?
Well, this is the thing, right? You've got to take a step back and look at the overall strategy. So they strategically leaked what Christopher Pyne said, the right-wingers, I should say, the Tony Abbott supporters on the right of the party, strategically leaked what more left-wing, but they call them moderates, what Christopher Pyne said to Andrew Bolt. That ran on Monday. Tuesday, he comes out with his 6-point plan. Wednesday, he forces Christopher Pyne to apologise. Thursday, Malcolm Turnbull has to say, oh, no, we definitely won't be getting rid of the same-sex marriage plebiscite. And also, let's randomly talk about submarines for a while. Friday, he comes out and he's still doing all these Facebook Lives and professorial announcements on talkback radio. It's all happening. So everyone's been playing out this Tony Abbott plan. Meanwhile, his former chief of staff, Peter Credlin, and his supporters are saying he actually doesn't want to be prime minister again. So I'm thinking, what does he want to do? Well, he just wants to see see the world burn.
Oh, but that's why he wants a nuclear submarine.
He is the Joker from The Dark Knight. But look, Alice, I presume that if his desperate colleagues were to come forward to him and say, Tony, save us, he'd step in.
Well, he'd step in, but this is the question. Would you rather have someone from your faction, so another right-winger, be in charge of the party and self-destruct the party and Malcolm Turnbull along with it, or do you want to win the next election? Because you can't have both. This is a Sophie's Choice scenario. You can't keep attacking within the party and manage to win an election.
You honestly think Tony Abbott's not running for Prime Minister?
Well, I think that Tony thinks he is, but everyone who's strategising around him knows that there's no way he'll ever be Prime Minister again.
So he's literally gone. He's a broken arrow. He's gone rogue, and he just wants to blow up the lot.
A broken nuclear arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because there's actually another story that's just broken in the paper, written by Joe Hildebrand, God bless him, and the headline is Malcolm Turnbull in Political Death Spiral. Oh. So the narrative is continuing that Malcolm's in all sorts of trouble, and then you've got Tony Abbott on the other side doing all the wrecking but saying, I don't want to be Prime Minister. Are we looking at a Julie Bishop Prime Ministership?
Kevin Andrews. It's got to be Kevin Andrews.
The Minister for Grecian 2000. Yes.
Look, it could be anyone. I mean,
it could be anyone.
The Conservatives are all falling into line behind Peter Dutton. But, you know, if he loses his seat at the next election, he can't be Prime Minister.
All right.
There's a lot of question marks over what's happening.
Also, Alice, finally, you've written for BuzzFeed about the fence that's going up at Parliament House. Is Tony Abbott allowed inside the fence? How's that going to work?
The fence. The saddest thing that's happened in Canberra since they got rid of the Skywhale, I think. The fence is quite an upsetting thing because not only is it visually ugly, it's as we described it at BuzzFeed, it's as ugly as UTS. Like, it's a real blight on the side of a normally beautiful city that is Canberra. So the fence is going up. It's going to be this 2 metres tall steel fence. It's going to lock off the lawn so you can't roll down the lawns anymore. And, you know, everyone seems to be fine with it because apparently we have terror risks that we need to crack down on, and only the Greens, the people that are also imploding as much as the Liberal Party at the moment, they're the only ones standing up and saying, less fences.
Well, look, it is our democratic God-given right to roll down the hill of Parliament House, so I guess we'll just have to roll Malcolm Turnbull instead. Thanks, Alice. Triple M, Radio Chaser. Guys, Katy Perry is in Sydney. She's just tweeted, don't be shy, bring me a meat pie. It's my personal Oz goal to try as many as I can during my short visit. Sydney, you have your orders. Go, bring Katy Perry a meat pie and call us on 133353 to tell us how it went. That'd be great. Now it's time for the nation and Katy Perry's favourite segment.
Cat's pajamas or cat
Let's Piss.
Where we take news stories and put them to our panel of Charles Firth, Rhys Muldoon and Mark Humphreys. Now, something new today. Well, normally we do three stories. This is one story in three phases. Ooh. The first part of the story, in Arkansas, place where all good things happen, including the Clintons, they've put up a giant marble sculpture of the Ten Commandments outside the front of the state like legislature, where the law stuff happens. And Katy Perry may have just walked past us. I don't know.
Hey, hang on. you go and just look. I'm just going to go and see if I can meet.
We think Katy Perry just walked past us, which is
Charles has literally left the studio.
Charles has run out of the studio.
Charles, get a meat pie.
He's taking off his shirt. He's got a texter.
He's actually forgotten
he's getting his chest signed.
How radio works insofar as...
Yes.
Unless she has now be quite ugly and a bit fat.
Well, she's into
and
pies.
And she's got a beard.
We know that she's eaten a lot of pies.
Have you just insulted guests at Triple M live on Triple M, which
I think
is
it was
broadcast
Grant Blackley,
throughout the entire
actually.
Building?
I think it was the CEO.
Oh, good.
It's been fun working here. Yeah.
It's been great. Thanks, Charles.
So, look, Ten Commandments outside the front of a parliament. Should we do this? Should they be doing this in Canberra along with that fence? What do you think? Is it going to... mean better laws.
Is this point two of Tony
Abbott's? This is point one. So they've got
first of all.
Ten
Commandments. Can I say it's cat's piss? It's definitely cat's piss because it's unconstitutional. In America, you're not allowed to just have, you know, God's word.
There's a
outside.
Division of church and
yeah,
state.
Exactly.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Look, I think it's actually cat's pajamas. It's just about what's on the commandments. If there were actually good things on the commandments, like, you know, be nice to each other.
Now, come on. New South Wales Parliament, you can't tell me that wouldn't benefit from thou shalt not steal out the front.
That's a really very good point.
All right, so that's the point one, having the Ten Commandments. And then because of your point, Charles, that there's more than one religion and it's important, the local satanic temple in Arkansas, absolutely true, is arguing that they should also be allowed to put up a statue of the goat-headed deity Baphomet.
I think that is absolutely cat's pajamas.
And Baphomet has an uncanny resemblance to Donald Tony Trump.
It's great. Just look, go online. Baphomet, he looks like a fun guy. Like in all those horror movies where there's satanic stuff, it's that goat-headed thing. Like, that would be quite scary. I think you definitely.
Well, you certainly wouldn't want to go to court.
But does this mean that every single religion gets to have... Wouldn't that just get crowded out
we'll
the front of the
crowded.
Courthouse?
Yeah,
if every religion gets their own statue.
Sculpture by the sea, but...
Scientology would have like an L. Ron Hubbard or a Tom Cruise or something statue, you know?
Instead of the satanic demon Baphomet, you could just have a picture of Eddie Abbey. That'd be fun. All right, so that's the second stage of the story. The third stage of the story is that what's just happened is that someone has, on their own time... gone and destroyed the Ten Commandments sculpture, turned it into rubble. This is someone who's been doing this all over America. Whenever they put up one of these things, this guy is a little bit wrong in the head.
Right.
Goes and destroys them. Is that a reasonable thing to do? Is that cat's pajamas or cat's piss to turn these things into rubble?
Look, you'll have to remind me, but doesn't that actually happen in the Old Testament? I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't Moses throw down the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, and they shatter. I think
because
he's
been worshipping a golden calf.
He's being very. Just being literal in his biblical interpretation. I think that's a very holy thing to do. Cat's pajamas.
Well, final question. The entire state of Arkansas, is it cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Cat's piss because it's spelled ARKANSAS.
It's Arkansas.
Exactly. Where they come with this W.
I know. Come on, Bobba.
I think. The satanic demon Baphomet wins this segment.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Yes, and thank you for joining us. We're very proud to be a Sydney show here at Radio Chaser. We've all grown up in Sydney here, except Reese, who's from Canberra. But otherwise, we are very Sydney. And so we thought, to show how well we know this city, we would throw down a whole bunch of interesting facts about Sydney.
That's right.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
No, but there are. I mean, I reckon Sydney is one of the most interesting cities in the world.
It is, Australia.
Did you know, for example, Harbour City, did you know the amount of liquid in Sydney Harbour is the same volume as the amount of beer that Bob Hawke consumes every Friday?
Fact.
Did you know, obviously, well, you do know this, that 270,000 people pass through Central Station each day and only 90% of them are buskers?
Fact. Hey!
Did you know that one square foot is the amount of George Street that has not been yet dug up?
Fact.
And Gladys Berejiklian has promised to do better on that.
fact.
Did you know that Paul Hogan actually begun his famous career painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and now that he doesn't do movies anymore, he's back painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge again.
Fact.
Did you know that before European occupation, the site of the Warwick was a traditional watering hole for Indigenous bogans?
Fact.
Thanks for having us the other day. The gratitude is just overwhelming here. They were really nice to us.
Did you know that WestConnex has so far taken 3 years to build, which is coincidentally how long the queues will be once it's complete?
Fact.
10 seconds. That's the average amount of time Russell Crowe talks to a celebrity before forcing them to wear Rabbitohs merchandise.
Fact.
Did you know that Bennelong Point is named after an Aboriginal man named Benny, who had a very long point?
Don't hit fact on that.
Fact.
Did you know that the Opera House, people think it's inspired by sails? It's actually not. If you go back to Jørn Utzon's original idea, it's made up of the segments of an orange that's far too expensive ever to be eaten by poor people.
Fact.
Did you know that Berejiklian is the Indigenous word for not quite as good as Mike Baird?
Fact.
Did you know that there were riots at the SCG when punters were told that they could only bring in one slab of beer per man, woman and child?
Fact.
You know, 8 isn't just a lucky number for the Chinese. It's the number of journos left at the SMH.
Fact.
Did you know the word M2 translates into the local Indigenous Eora dialect as bloody expensive road toll?
Fact.
Did you know that the Sydney Football Stadium is known as that because it's the home of soccer in Sydney? It's not called the Sydney Rugby League Stadium, is it? No, it isn't, because football, not soccer. I'm just trying to win that argument from the other day.
That's not a fact. That's not a fact at all. Oh, well, okay, finally, did you know that Radio Chaser is Sydney's highest rating show in Sydney's lunchtime hours shows featuring members of the Chaser?
Get fat.
Fake news.
The news is fake.
Just got faker.
So false and fake.
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Now, one of the best things you can do in this city is the Bondi to Bronte walk. That is a great walk. And when you're there, you're just looking out over the ocean. It's incredibly panoramic. And you see Waverley Cemetery. What a romantic place that is to be buried. Like, you can imagine your headstones there, the winds are whipping in off the ocean. Problem is, it's pretty much full. And in fact, almost all the cemeteries in all of Australia's major cities are full. Like, they're completely packed. You can't get buried. They're running out of space. So they're actually trying to figure out how to find new ways of burying people that are more space efficient. Obviously, cremation is good. But one of the ideas that they've got here is vertical graves, actually stacking them up. Like, if you imagine, like a CD stacker of graves. That's
Wasn't
that's
the capsule hotel you stayed at?
That happy place.
Including a death service.
Yeah, one of the other ideas is there's an eco-burial thing called a bio-urn, and it makes trees grow instead of just fertilising the soil. So, yeah, it can work as well.
Well, this is the thing that I don't understand about Waverley Cemetery. You see a lot of you go around there, and a lot of the people are sort of died 150 years ago. Like, there's no relatives.
No,
there's no relatives who are going to go and
what are you suggesting,
visit these.
Charles?
Well, shouldn't we just dig up the holes and put people on top of them? Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
build,
no one's going to
car
care.
Park on top or something, and we'll put a hotel there. Like, so the views are amazing. I mean, the dead people do not use those views.
Okay, so the graves of all of our former prime ministers, et cetera, et cetera. You just think, just dump them.
Yeah, or just put them to one side. Like, just
put them to one side.
Well, actually, there's a good idea for this. The Eastern Suburbs Memorial Park in Matraville, the telly's got all this information, wants another idea. They want catacombs like in Paris or Rome. And what a catacomb is basically an underground cave. And this is absolutely true. They've got a multi-story underground car park that they're thinking of just turning into, like, basically a massive stack of bones.
They've got them in Brooklyn as well, in New York, where they've got, in Brooklyn Cemetery, they've got all these catacombs. And you walk in, and they're just stacked on top of each other. There's, like, you know, 50 or 60 bodies in each catacomb. Very, very efficient. The one thing I would say, though, is never accidentally get locked in the cemetery at night, because it is impossible. My wife and I once got locked in there, and we had to spend the night. It was like
no,
a horror movie. But
really?
We had to spend the night in the cemetery.
You did not?
Brooklyn.
They make it impossible for people to get into after dark. But we got stuck in it after dark because we were already in there.
I've had that,
and then you could not get out.
I've had that happen to me. It's like with shopping centres. That happens to me at Westfield.
Really?
Once you go in, you can't find your way out.
And then there's lots of dead bodies everywhere.
Cheap accommodation for New York, though, Charles, to be fair.
Yeah, that's right.
And weirdly, Charles, that experience with the dead bodies, still better than the capsule hotel.
So, look, here's the thing. This whole question of real estate for burials, it's affected the whole of Sydney because anything involving land in Sydney is incredibly expensive. You can't afford to live in Sydney. Now you can't afford to die in Sydney, which has led to scenes like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a beautiful plot on offer today. This hole in the ground is listed as a single, but I am confident you could fit a couple, maybe even a kid in there. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, we will sell this hole in the ground today. Location is everything, folks, and let me tell you, this deep, dark hole in the ground, located just an hour and a half from the Sydney CBD, is about as good as you can hope for in the current burial market. And, folks, if it is views you are after, this plot has got them. To the north, you can see soil. To the east, soil. To the west, let me just confer with my associate. Yes, soil. And to the south, dirt.
Honey, you loved it.
The other great thing about this property is it will appreciate over time. So if your descendants do decide to exhume you, they will make a very tidy profit indeed. And best of all, folks, very quiet neighbours. Now, come on, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to be thrown out to sea like Bin Laden. Do I hear $1.2 million? Do I even hear breathing? You, sir, in the open casket. No?
$1.2 million?
$1.2 million from the man with the colostomy bag. Thank you, sir. I can see time is of the essence, so we'll leave it there unless there is a higher offer at $1.2 million. Do I have any increase on $1.2
million? $1.3
million. $1.3 million from the lady with the external pacemaker. $1.3, that is $1.3 million. $1.3 million going once. $1.3 million going twice. Going three times. $1.3 million and sold to the lady with the external pacemaker. Oh, and it looks like she's moving in right away, folks.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
The next Underbelly series is going to be all about Chopper Reid, that extraordinary figure. Not the comedy Chopper Reid, the actual guy who used to terrorise crooks in the Melbourne underworld, and Rhys Muldoon, who seems to know just about everyone in the entire world. It's extraordinary working with him. Everyone's on his phone. You hung out with Chopper.
I did.
Why?
Well, it all began. We got writing to each other because he had this short story that I was interested in maybe adapting into a film. And he said, and suddenly he's just writing to me.
Is this before the film Chopper?
No, it's after the film Chopper, but it's a story that he'd written in one of his books. And so he just started writing to me regularly. And he was like, come down and we'll discuss it. And I went, okay, well, I'll come down. And
you don't say no to Chopper.
You don't say no. So I've flown down to Hobart. I've booked my hotel in Richmond, which was the town near his farm, all that sort of stuff. I've landed at the airport. There's Chopper waiting for me at the airport, which I didn't know that was going to happen, firstly. And I was like, and make no mistake, Chopper looks very much like Chopper. Okay. So, I mean, the airport was, it was just, the humans were all just stick figures and there was Chopper, right? And so I've got in the car with Chopper and he's only just got out of jail, right? So he's just got out of Risdon prison. He doesn't know many skills about sort of how to, you know, roll in society. So he says, okay, look, I'm driving you down to where we're going to go down to the farm and I'm driving. Let me know how I go with driving because I've only just learned how to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I'm going,
it was Tassie, so no traffic.
No traffic, but there are corners. Okay, right? Like, because what he would do is he would just stay the same speed whether there's a corner or not.
Chopper
right?
doesn't back down for just, any man and not for a corner.
Exactly. And I am just clinging on, just going, and he's going, how do you think I'm going? How do you think I'm going? And I'm going, there's a principle in braking where you brake into the corner and accelerate out, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, no, how do you think I'm going all right? And I'm going, yeah, you're going really good. You're going really good, right? And we somehow made it to his farm alive. Mm-hmm. And, I thought I was staying at the hotel. And he goes, you're not staying at the hotel. You're staying with me. You're staying with me. Again, yes, Mr. Chopper, whatever you say, Mr. Chopper. And so I stayed at his farm for a week in the bedroom next to his.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And this bedroom was just, it was a sight to behold. Above my bed, There were knives. There were guns.
What?
Yes, I'm serious. There were knives. All
were
just
like dangling
not
down.
Dangling towards the bed. I mean at the bed head on the wall.
You weren't sleeping in the kitchen, were you?
No, I wasn't sleeping in the
so
kitchen.
So normally it was the weapons room, the armory.
Exactly. I'm sleeping in the armory. Yeah.
Did you get any sleep in the entire week?
No, but he'd wake me up. He would wake me up like at 2 a.m., like with his chopper head right up against mine going like, hey, Reese, Reese, Reese. And I'd wake up and go, ah, right? Like, you know, because it's chopper that's just woken you up. And he'd say, look, come out to the kitchen and we're going to have some beer and some Xanax, right? That's what.
Oh, wow.
And so like we would sit out in the kitchen just telling yarns, telling stories and drinking beer at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Triple M does not endorse the combination of beer and Xanax.
I didn't take the Xanax, but we would have beer and Xanax. I mean, we would have beer, and we would tell stories, you know,
and lemonade,
and lemonade, and then we would go for trips into town, you know. And he never had to pay for anything anywhere, wherever we went. He'd just ring up and say, "It's me, Chopper. I'm coming to get a pizza. Mm-hmm. I want all the Italian stuff on it." Click, and we'd just go and pick up the pizza. Never have to pay, right? It was just he was like Lord of Hobart. It was just extraordinary.
Well, I'm just in shock. I just meant, like, of all the ways Chopper could kill you, I wouldn't have thought driving would have been the method.
Driving was the most frightening aspect of it.
So Reese, the Underbelly producers actually called you up for tips on Chopper, making the new series.
On the character of Chopper, because what was interesting, I was speaking to Aaron Jeffrey, who's actually playing the part of Chopper, and he was asking me, you know, what was Chopper like? And I said, well, I think that the aspect that, and I love the film Chopper, make no mistake, and I thought Eric Banner absolutely nailed it, but I said that the other thing is you've got to try and get the aspect of Chopper, because Chopper's kind of a persona.
Right.
That he puts on, in a way. You know, like, when it's Mark...
Deep down, he's just a soft, cuddly...
Well, in a weird way, he kind of is a little... He was. No, he was actually really intelligent, you know, and he was really sort of quite gentle.
But was he a psychopath? Was he very cold?
No, he wasn't a psychopath. I'll tell you about the time I spent the day with Roger Rogerson. That's another story, right? But Chopper, I would say, not a psychopath because he knew he'd done wrong. Do you know what I mean? He actually felt bad about all the stuff that he'd done. While some other people that I've met don't feel bad about things they've done. But right. Chopper actually did, he had guilt. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he was a troubled soul. So in that regard, I would say not a psychopath. But
that's very reassuring to hear.
Yeah.
What happened to all the knives and guns and things? Did he go after Chopper?
He did have quite a collection. And I did remember asking him if he had, you know, guns. And he was like, ixnay on the guns gay. Right, just didn't want to talk about the guns.
There are no guns.
No guns.
You know what's
going to
happen now?
What?
It's going to somehow, from beyond the grave, we're going to get a call from Chopper, I reckon.
Don't.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M. It's Lunchtime Radio's Night of Nights. Welcome to the Chaser Awards with your award-winning host, Dom Knight of Nights.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us here at the Chaser Awards Stadium. If anyone can win a Chaser Award for doing anything, and I want to kick things off today by giving an award to the man they call Humphos, Mr. Mark Humphreys, who's been in with us for the past 5 or so weeks, couple of days a week. He's stepped in, he's put up, he's written some great sketches, he's done a bloody good job, he's been a brilliant part of the team. We'll miss him at least some.
Thank you. We'll some average sketches as well, I might add.
We'll miss you every, Tuesday and Friday.
2 or 3 days a week, yeah.
So, Mark, can you tell us where you're headed next?
Well, I like to believe in this industry it's good to go down from time to time. Mm. So I'm going from Triple M to full-time at SBS.
Right, and on the show that doesn't rate at all and has an asterisk.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm there to bring the ratings down further. They're a little concerned.
Going to be there full-time?
Full-time.
Wow.
That's great. So the SBS budget going to employ a multicultural Australian on a full-time basis.
As I've said many times, I'm the only other white man on SBS other than Hitler.
Wow. So that's Mark Humphreys next week. Andrew Hanson will rejoin us from next week.
You're going to miss that sort of stuff.
And Mark Humphreys just got the sack from SBS.
Take the whole show down with you. That's the way to do it. Nice
now,
one, Mark.
I've got a Chaser Award, and this is the Bad Timing Award. And this goes to PETA, the animal rights activists.
Oh, yeah, PETA.
Okay,
yeah.
PETA. And what they did was they launched their new campaign, which is Why Would You Eat Bacon? That's the entire campaign. And they released that campaign during a CBS News special about people who have lived to really old age. The number one winner was an 105-year-old woman who said the secret to her long life was eating bacon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is delicious, incidentally.
I'd love to just give a quick award to Brooklyn Beckham.
Oh, lovely. Yes, David's son.
Victoria's
yeah.
eldest son. He's released a new book. He's got a book of photography.
Oh, and, lovely.
But apparently, some of the photos are out of focus and have captions such as, "I like this picture. It's out of focus, but you can tell there's a lot going on." So getting a book published of photography with out of focus photos, that earns a chance.
Isn't it great just to see that lack of intelligence can be hereditary like that? It's just been passed on like a gift from his parents.
So my Chaser Award is for biggest dick of the week.
Oh, my Lord.
And it goes to James Sutherland, who's the CEO of Cricket Australia, who is a complete dick.
Oh, I thought you were complimenting his manhood.
Right,
okay.
No. He's actually
the strike thing and the pay deal.
What's he done? Why do you claim this?
So the whole thing is, for 20 years, the cricket players have had a revenue sharing deal. So they get 26% of the revenue and that's it. It's all completely fair. Yep. He wants to ditch that and he's going, "Oh, no, it's because I want to pay you more. I want to pay all the cricketers more." The thing is that the Big Bash League is just about to be negotiated. And that's going to be like an extra $80 million
now,
in the thing.
As much as I'd like to know more about the industrial details of cricket, we've got 10 seconds to go. Join us next week to win a trip overseas.
Yes.
Genuine offer, as long as overseas means Tasmania. Join us from Monday at 11. Ugly Phil up next at Sydney's Triple M.
Goodbye.
Radio Chaser. Triple M.